Blog Talk Radio.
With your anger.
It's about
right.
Fucking time, man.
Dude,
I wonder when that was going to happen.
I'm not going to hold back no more, dude. I'm just going to fucking, you know, I'll let you get your word in and try to, you know, and try to kowtow to you when you got a point and try not to be too overbearing, but I'm just going to fucking, you know, I'm just going to be how I really feel and just, you know.
It's let loose,
just,
man. Let loose.
Yeah, say, you know, let my feelings go, you know, for the way I feel about the way everything's going in this country, the way I feel about fucking religious faith and everything, and just, you know, what a horrible thing it is on this earth and for this planet and people.
Yeah, there's been
some
fucking vile shit, like, just even the last week and a half,
my
as
God.
Usual, about religion,
dude,
coming out, man.
I really felt bad that we missed last week's show because with the whole thing with Obama, I mean, basically pulling a fucking... you know, Iran-Contra type deal. There was so much shit going on.
The reaction to it, dude. The reaction was
fucking
crazy.
Right.
You're talking about Bird Doll,
yep.
Right?
What's that? Oh, yeah.
You're talking about Bird
right.
Doll, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
the whole Bird Doll, dude.
Right. I mean, you know, just the whole, you know, just there's so much shit just surrounding everything, and I got one point I'm looking at. Go ahead.
I got a few items just off the top of the show. Maybe we can get into them later. Hit them. If not, we'll throw them out there for anyone that's listening. I got the Vegas shootings. I want to talk about that a little bit. And Noam Chomsky article that came up on Truthout about surveillance. It's just fucking amazing. And then some more police state stuff if we have time about just, of course, the outrageous bullshit going on with the cops, you know, not only here but around the world. It's been buckling down. So that's kind of some of my fucking bullet points that I want to hit on tonight for sure.
Right. It's not just here. It's everywhere. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's a worldwide, you know, deal. It's, you know, a lot of ways we have it good here, and, you know, in some ways. So, you know, I wouldn't want to be people in other countries.
We got it good, but it's dwindling. You know, it's eroding. It's the problem. And you know, we don't have it as good as some people think. I mean, you know, we're the greatest nation in the world. We're not the greatest nation in anything anymore. Education or health care or fucking freedom of press, anything anymore. So when you say we're the greatest nation in the world, about what? You know, I love the country, man, and it's good that we're able to get on this and do our show the way we can right now. But we're not the only country in the world that can do that. If we were Canada or fucking Norway or Sweden, all those, you know what I'm saying? Better health care, better education, better standard of living, and they still have the same standards of freedom that we do, you know?
Right. Yep.
So, fucking, I think we need a reality fucking check, dude. We need a fucking check on what the fuck's going on in this country. Yeah, we got a great country. There's no doubt about it. I love this country, but it's getting fucked up, and there's some bad shit going on. And I think if someone doesn't address it and talk about it like we're doing and other people, then you know, it'll just keep going and get worse, and maybe it will anyway. Who knows, man? I don't know, man. But, you got to get out there and fucking talk about it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's just the whole thing. I mean, like, when we first started the show, one of the things we said was it's almost going to be like therapy for us. You know, at least I said that for me. I think you kind of said that too. You just got to, you got to say something. You know, we have, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say we got thousands of listeners, but our listenership's growing every day, every show, and it's pretty much growing by tens and twenties, and every show it's getting more and more. So, I mean, we do have somebody listening to us, and it just feels good to be able to spew this and spout this shit off and get it off your chest, or you just fucking blow up. I mean, you know, I feel bad for people that, you know, there's people that are the same way as us. They get pissed off and they're crazy and everything, but then you're, you know, they got a fucking house full of guns and everything, and you got to watch, you know. you start getting too crazy, and you start fucking building up, you know, a fucking bug out plan to get out of your house when they fucking come to get you, and you're fighting, and all of a sudden you're fighting the government. It's like, I don't want to do that. I want to do it through peaceful means, you know, getting people angry, but getting people out there to fucking, you know, to vote and get rid of.
Do something about it. Talk to your senators, take part in a fucking protest somewhere. I notice every single protest, whether it's right or left nowadays, is just shamed by the fucking media. And, you know, everything's illegal now. Occupy, you know, Wall Street, the Bundy Bird Branch thing, which to me keeps getting worse and worse. But every single protest that happens in America is being vilified now, no matter if it's on right or left or wherever, you know?
Right.
That's fucked up, man. That's fucked up.
Hey, we got a caller on hold. Do you want to take him?
If you want, man. Sure. We'll get
started.
You want
to fucking rant? Okay, well, I got a couple
rants in me, but we can hold off to later in the show on that.
All right, we'll take this call. And caller, what's your name and where do you hail from?
It's Christ Crusher. What's up, man?
Christ Crusher. All right. Nothing much, dude. We're just getting fucking, we're getting lubed up and fucking geared up to just fucking throwing down.
Sounds like I've been listening for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Same old.
Right.
Y'all on the gun issue today, right?
We're a little bit of everything right now.
we haven't settled in on an issue yet. We were talking about a lot of the political shit that's been going on with, you know, we just basically previewed some of the stuff, some of the police state shit. Not so much gun rights or anything, but just the thing, you know, with Obama, with the trading the terrorists for Guantanamo for the prisoner of war, deserter, whatever he was. We still haven't really just figured out what's going on with that. And,
yeah, I'm not really sure how I feel about that.
Right.
I guess all this information, you know, still coming in, so kind of reserving my my opinion
right.
on the matter for right
yeah.
now.
Well, this is my take on it, man. I think they should have gone after and got him. I don't know the way they did it. Maybe questionable. Who knows? Most of those people in Guantanamo, there's a big-ass article when they first started filling that fucking prison up in Guantanamo. There was a big article in Rolling Stone about a majority of those people in Guantanamo, no matter what they claim, didn't do a damn thing. And every single one of those guys they traded had never been up for trial or charged for anything, which is the problem in the first place with Guantanamo. But a lot of these fucking people that they filled up Guantanamo with were just like they were tribal disagreements. So one tribe leader would turn in and say, hey, this dude's a terrorist, turn him in, turn his name over to the American government. The American government would go pick him up, pay him, I forgot what the stipend was, like $1,000. It was almost no money for turning over a quote-unquote terrorist. But a lot of these came from disputing tribes. So one tribe would turn another tribe's member over, supposedly for being a terrorist. The U.S. would go and swoop that fucker up and bring him to Guantanamo without any evidence whatsoever except for what was claimed by some dude in Afghanistan or Pakistan
right.
or whatever. And a majority of the prisoners in that fucking prison are like that. They have no evidence against them whatsoever.
Let me ask you a question.
You know, and they've never charged them.
Let me ask you a question then. Why is the media, what I've heard, is acting like these five guys they traded for this bull bison or bull whatever the
bird
fuck
doll.
Bird bulldog or whatever.
Bird
fuck
doll.
His name. Why are they acting like these five guys are the terrorist dream team that they wanted back? Like these guys are the mastermind
right.
of everything that's ever went on in the world.
Right.
Haven't you noticed that? It seems, I don't know if that's just Fox News or what.
Yeah, they're running everything. Well, of course it is. They're running everything suddenly. Suddenly they're running. That's yeah. the same thing with 9/11. First it was fucking, first it was Bin Laden. And then it was
right.
the Sheikh that they found in the mountains of Pakistan. They got him while he was sleeping. Remember those pictures? He looked like Ron
right.
Jeremy, just woken up or something.
Right.
And then
yep.
he was the mastermind of 9/11. And then another guy
right.
that they arrested, he was the mastermind of 9/11. And it just every single titles applied to these fucking guys just for convenience. And it keeps
right.
going back to the article I read. Those guys had never been charged in Guantanamo. They filled up that fucking prison just off of secondhand knowledge, word of mouth bullshit. Most of those guys have never been charged, whatever. This is what I said to my wife. I can just about guarantee those fuckers are ready. They probably have an RFID chip in them.
Right.
saying? They're going to be able to track those dudes forever, no matter if
right.
they release them or not. That's why they're willing to do it at this point.
You know what I'm saying?
There's no way that they spent 10 years in Guantanamo being tortured and whatever else just to be kicked for a prisoner of war. I'm willing to bet that they've got some sort of tracking device in those fuckers, and they're going to kick them and then let them go and follow up with them in about 6 months and take them out.
Well, that's what they said. They can't kill them at Guantanamo, so they're going to let them go.
Right.
Like,
we'll get them later.
Kill them out. Yeah.
But why
yeah,
arrest them
gonna...
in the first place? That's the thing, though, man. I mean, just kill
right.
them in the first place, then. If they were actual what
right.
they're saying they are, and they were obtained in an arena of war, then fucking why didn't they just kill them? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The whole thing, the whole Guantanamo thing doesn't make sense at all. They got these guys prisoners, whatever, man. I mean, the same fate would have happened to them as would have happened to Saddam Hussein or whatever. You know, they would have made sure
right.
if they could catch those guys and they actually had done something that they'd be dead right now.
Right.
You know?
I thought I was gonna see Glenn Beck on fucking YouTube saying that one of these guys blew up the fucking Kremlin or something, or blamed some other fucking ridiculous terrorist attack on him, or something from years like decades
ago. Yeah,
or
they
something.
Blew up a bus of grandmas head into a casino.
Right.
A bunch of grandmas from Kansas heading to a casino. You know, whatever. I mean, you know, it's a new story.
Isn't that a daisy?
With these guys. So I don't, you know, I think if they can get this guy back, whether he was really a deserter or not, they're saying when he went over, he was loopy. I'm reading shit where he was already claiming that he was having mental problems when they sent him over there. And,
when you listen to his letter that he sent his dad, I kind of agree with what he said. I mean, you know, it's some of the shit they do over there is horrendous. He doesn't. You know, he feels horrible. I mean, you know,
killing
he's talking
innocent
about
people.
Stuff, and I'm like,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would agree with him.
Well, there's a lot of people that want to hang that guy already. You know, and you gotta look at like, well, maybe, you know, maybe the finger could be pointed in the wrong direction. You know, why should he have to go over there and participate in these things? You know, if they're not getting people that they need to be getting, and, you know, they're over there just kicking in doors and slaughtering families and shit, I wouldn't want any part of that, you know.
That's what he's saying. I mean, you know, that's exactly what he's saying. So, he may have been crazy-headed over, but he was sure making sense for the reasons he gave. I mean, maybe he shouldn't have, you know, deserted his post if that's what he did, but the reasons he gave were all completely legitimate issues, you know, legitimate reasons. And then this is the most fucking heinous thing of all of it, is Fox attacking his family. They're attacking the father for having a beard, you know, and Jon Stewart did this whole long bit about, you know, if it's the Duck Dynasty people, they're fucking, you know, they're patriotic Americans. The Bird Doll father, he's scum of the earth, you know, because he's the father of the soldier. That's fucked up, man.
Right.
They went after his family. Fox did.
Yeah, Fox.
Crazy.
Fox doesn't have any. They don't. They're real good at taking it to a new low.
Yeah.
You know, they're real good
at
that.
I can't.
Anybody's
even
fair
watch.
Game for Fox, man. I mean,
I can't even watch Fox News, dude. I got to be absolutely shit faced drunk to even watch it. Right? Just dude.
Well, John,
just,
you look at Jon Stewart. He's got to get paid to watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
You know
That's about the only way I could probably watch is if I was getting paid.
But
you know
Stewart's part of the problem also. Although I think he's one of the best mediators about media in general. He tears media up equally, CNN and Fox and even MSNBC and stuff. But he never goes after the war machine. Never talks about, you know, we've been in Afghanistan 13 years now, or, you know, the longest war we've ever been in the history of the country, whatever else. I mean, he just never even touches that shit. He'll touch the Bird Doll deal, but not the root cause of it, you know?
Yeah, he'll go to the he'll single out the individual.
Right. But he won't go after the fact that we're, you know, that's happening all over the world because of us, that our military's all over the world fighting or not, whether it be in Iraq or Germany or Africa.
What happens when you do shit like that, what's his name on ABC, fucking politically correct, what the hell's his
Omar?
Name, on HBO now.
Omar
got fucking kicked off ABC. He lost his show because what was he attacking? He had said something, was it about 9/11 or something?
You know what he said? And you don't hear about it anymore either. He said that we're cowards because we're sending drones over and killing innocent people with drones.
Nah,
and that's what got booted, and that's what got him booted from ABC. And you notice he doesn't say that anymore either. You don't hear him even saying a line like that anymore.
On HBO, dude, he's pretty fucking, I don't know, he's pretty bold on HBO. I think he's
Yeah, I know, but again, not really against the war state, dude, because he's along the lines of Hitchens and say, Sam Harris, that Chomsky said about. He said, you know, their religion isn't God, their religion is the state. And Bill Maher, along with Hitchens and Sam Harris, believe that the state should intervene in all of these religious atrocities. So they want to trade the religious atrocities for state-sponsored atrocity. They want the state to go over and intervene and kill these people that are killing people, you know? And Bill Maher is right there with them with that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, speaking of fucking dipshits, did you see those couple of stories I sent you about that Republican Louis Gohmert, the one who went berserk on Anderson Cooper. Did you watch that video?
He's got to be the dumbest person in the House. Got to be
that motherfucker is
dumbest.
Crazy. And then he's telling the in Congress, he's telling that the good news is that all non-Christians are going to hell. That one other story.
That's the good news he's reporting.
Yeah, that's the good news. The good news is everything's going to hell. Everything's fucked up, but can't fucking balance the budget. Can't do anything. But the good news is we're all going to hell.
We're going to hell.
And then on that video, man, did you see Anderson Cooper? He's saying he's accusing him of all types of shit. All this stuff, and he hasn't did anything that he's accused him of, and he's totally calm, totally mellow, letting him speak, but he just won't let him talk. That Louis Gohmert, he's screaming at him about all types of shit, dude. He looks like a fucking idiot. I'm like, this guy is who we got in Congress? This is who's representing us? I'm like, oh, my God.
Just think of how many people voted for that dude. Think of how many people believe in what he has to say. That's the scary part. It's not only him, but he's the figurehead for that area wherever he came from. What is he, Texas or something, Florida? He probably had tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people vote for him.
He went and made a speech. I believe it was, I can't remember where it was. It was in Congress. It was someplace big, maybe some big fucking speech about how terrorists are coming over here and they're having their women have babies here in America. So they can get the fucking, the 3-month waiver so they could, have vacations over here. And they'll have the baby over here. Then the baby will come back later on and be a terrorist. And they had, Anderson Cooper had FBI on there, and they had a statement from the FBI saying this is not true. It hasn't happened. We have no evidence of it. And he kept asking them, well, what's your evidence of it? And he wouldn't give any. He kept saying, I talked to a retired FBI, and that's what he told me.
Yeah,
and,
well, this
and
is
goes,
a big
well,
problem, dude. We're giving credence to these fuckers. Anderson Cooper has a whole show about this guy's unsubstantiated claims, So, here's all the things proving that he doesn't, instead of just being like, no shit, of course that's not true,
Right.
I mean, that's part of the problem. I mean, we've got these Orly Tates or whatever all these crazy radicals on. I suppose they need to give some airtime to these people, but they almost give them credence, man. I mean, who's the blonde-haired chick, right-wing blonde-haired chick that's always quoted, and she's so fucking vile.
You talk about it.
What's her name?
Ann Coulter.
Coulter.
Yeah.
Why do they even bother quoting her? She's insane, right? I mean, she's absolutely crazy and says the most vile shit to stir up people, to radical people, to do whatever, who knows what. And yet she gets more airtime than who knows. I mean,
7 years of college down the drain.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's part of the
she's
problem
fucking.
Is media is giving airtime to these fucking ridiculous, stupid radicals.
She's a fucking fascist psycho cunt, dude, is what she is. She really is. I mean, she's a piece of shit, dude. I've probably only listened to her maybe 3 or 4 times. She's been on Bill Maher a couple times, and I usually watch that show. And she's kind of funny on there. I don't know if they got some kind of sexual thing going, her and Bill Maher, but they, jealous back and forth, and they kind of flirt and stuff. And she thinks she's so fucking funny, dude, and cool and hip and everything. You know what, dude? She's not cool. She's not hip. She's not fucking pop. She's not pop culture. She's a fucking idiot, dude. If you put a little fucking black smudge on her fucking upper lip and put her hair up and put her in a fucking some jack boots and a fucking gray coat, she'd be Hitler.
Yeah,
she's
KKK, man. She's KKK. When it comes to politics or social issues about different people,
right.
I mean she's hardline KKK. I mean, she.
These conservatives, I mean, they have the entire South in their back pocket. She supports a white, male, Christian-dominated government, pretty much. So, I mean, she's anti-woman.
Yep.
I mean,
she's not a real woman is what she is. She looks like she reminds me of fucking asexual nothing.
Yeah, man.
I don't know.
Well, she's certainly a figurehead, you know, for the most vile of the Republicans. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than her, you know.
She tries to be like a female Rush Limbaugh.
Right.
You know, like
those two are. Those two go together well.
Easy. Oh, dude, that guy is
Sarah Palin.
Right, Palin. You know, and this is I mean, they literally have women, GOP women, come on and say how they don't deserve equal pay. Or I'm thinking, what the fuck? How the hell can you say that straight face into the camera, man? You know?
Yeah.
It's
like, the Bible.
Then get the fuck off the air. If that's what she feels like, get the fuck off the air. She doesn't need to be on the air anymore then.
You're right. The politics and the
get back in the kitchen if that's what she thinks.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And get off the fucking air.
Right.
Yeah, she should be making a sandwich or some shit.
Right. I mean, if that's her, then get the fuck off, then you're right. See ya. You know? Get back in the kitchen.
I live with a very dangerous woman.
Right. Yeah, she's fucking piece of shit, dude. And
yeah.
And I would love
you know,
to
this
see.
Whole bird doll thing, and everything that comes up, man, lately is just showing the Republicans for what they are. And again, man, I want to claim this every time, but it really keeps coming up worse and worse every week. It seems like I'm not a Democrat even, and I've voted Republican before. It's been a while because they're so fucking crazy nowadays. But
well,
I can't even vote Democrat anymore. I go and these fuckers are just more vile every week as it goes along, man. I mean, they're outright racist. Obama gets them voted into office, man. And if you could, I mean, it's amazing how many cases of racism now have come out of the GOP since Obama's been in office. I mean, just how out racist they are, you know. And
right.
I mean. They're the party of hate, man. The party of hate. You got to either hate, poor people or immigrants or black people or whatever, or all of them combined or Jews or whatever. But you got to hate one of them.
How in the hell did we go from the '60s? In the '60s, the fucking KKK was Democrat till now. To now, it's totally reversed. And the fucking Republicans are now the racist
party. I don't know if that's the case, but you know, it came from the South.
They're a Christian organization now.
Yeah,
Grandmaster.
Yep.
He came out and said that. Yeah.
Yeah. They are.
You know,
they're Christian. All their values are based off of the Bible.
Christian, as long as you're white.
Right. Well, they're Christian, but you know, I mean. I mean, they're not, again, like you're saying how some of these radicals are living
devil.
And they look crazy, but they're living by, you know, virtues of the Bible. You know, that's the KKK, man. They're taking the Bible literally. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're living by virtues of the Bible thinking that that people need to be killed because they're working on Sunday or because they're gay or any number of issues that the Bible lays down on why you should be murdered, you know, because you don't believe in what the Bible says, you know, and the KKK is right there with them, man, as are most Republicans.
And the Republicans are always quick to go, you know, the liberal, the Democrats, they go, oh, they're quick to call us racist and, you know, well, I mean, if you look at your track record a little bit and what's going on around in the world, you know, the Republican Party is right now the most racist party there is.
Yeah.
And they deserve that title.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, they burned it.
Again, you use the KKK as an example. You go in there and you pull them, I'm willing to bet 99.999% of them are Republicans, right? When you talk about political affiliations, all these people that have political affiliations, even going back to mass murders. Now, this isn't always true. I think that last one was a kid that did the drive-bys in California. Their parents were somewhat liberal. But again, he was crazy, right? But most political affiliations for these guys that are caught, that are perpetrating mass murder because of political reasons, you know, because not just because they're straight crazy, which most, if not all, are. But if they're perpetrating those crimes for political reasons, they're almost always Republican. They're almost always right wing.
You remember Rick Santorum? That dude is insane.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
If you remember,
one of the numbers.
President, he was once saying that if the woman got raped, you know, she should have that child. He was, you know, real anti and everything.
Well, a lot of them are like that. A lot. That's a strict interpretation of the Bible, man. I mean,
yeah.
Mike Huckabee.
Oh,
you know, there's a lot of front running Republicans that have run that have boiled down to being the last five or six guys on the planet running for president that believe that. Still.
Yeah, they want to put those good old Christian values into the law. You know,
Sharia law, man. Sharia law,
say,
really,
no,
except it's Christian.
Yeah, that's exactly why we should have, you know, the separation of the church and the state, because, you know, you look at places where it's not what the potential is, you know, look at Sharia law, like you said.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's coming
belong,
down in America.
It doesn't belong.
And you, the more of these crazy fucks you see in Congress, at Gohmert and Michelle Bachmann, you know, they're all about running the government by the Bible, Sharia law.
Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
Ted Cruz.
Right. Marco Rubio.
No, the Tila Band.
You know.
If you tell them, no, you want equal, you know, equal for everybody, you know, you want a secular nation, they're like, well, now we're being persecuted. We don't, we want all the privilege for ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like they can't see that. You're suddenly against Christianity and their gods and all that. Well, yeah, because it's affecting everybody. You're putting everybody under your rule of thumb. And, you know, America is a melting pot. Man. We got people, we have non-believers, we have Muslims, Buddhists, everything. You know, you can't just say that the Judeo-Christian God gets it and nobody else.
I think we should start supporting Satanists and get some fucking Satanists in office. You know?
The problem is still a majority of Americans believe the bullshit in the Bible. That's the biggest problem, and you can't. You're not probably in our lifetimes. I don't know. I've said some things like this before that haven't, but I doubt we'll ever in our lifetime see an atheist president. You know, ever in our lifetime. I mean, even Obama had to pretend to be all religious as he was running for president. You don't see that fucker anywhere near a church anymore, you know.
Right.
I mean, he's nowhere near
a
church.
He's not
religious. And really, he's almost Buddhist, man. I mean, you know, he's got, you know, I mean, he's so far from Christian, which, again, fine with me. But I'd prefer him be just no religion, and maybe he is, because you just don't even see him, you know, doing the church thing anymore.
Well,
he hits it just for political reasons, but it certainly isn't worship, you know.
Right.
I definitely don't believe he's Muslim or Christian.
I don't think he's anything. I think he's atheist, but you'll never hear that.
He is too. Yeah, he'll never say that.
Yeah,
right.
He could be on the fence or agnostic, even. You know, I mean, he's definitely. I don't. He just doesn't seem like a believer to me.
Me neither. Me neither. So I, you know,
I think he's a jihadist. He's Muslim.
He's a Muslim jihadist.
How many times have you heard in the last couple of weeks all these people on Facebook saying, you know, he's a terrorist sympathizer. He's getting all these terrorists out, and they're, you know, and he's helping the terrorists and the Muslims. He's a Muslim.
Oh,
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, dude? He's fucking killed so many Muslims through all the drone strikes and everything, and more Arab people than anybody has.
He's
killed
more Muslims
about.
Than Bush has.
Right.
That's
definitely.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the other part. It's all convenience, man. Suddenly, he's for the Muslims, and he's talking to the terrorists and whatever else, but... Yeah, you know, it's all for fucking political convenience, trying to make a point. The bottom line is they're bringing an American soldier home, and these conservatives, you know, they flip completely. Usually, that's the main priority for all the militaristic people out there is leave no one behind, right? You know, and now that they're not, now that they're bringing this dude home, suddenly the reasons behind it are more important than getting this guy back and figuring out what the hell's going on with him, you know?
Right. Yeah, well, he can do no right. I don't think no matter what he does, it's always wrong, you know? If he leaves him over there, then he don't care about the military, and he don't fucking care about nobody, and all he cares about is, you know, fucking military over. Then if he brings them back, then he's a fucking terrorist sympathizer, and well, you know, it doesn't matter what he does.
If he was doing the shit that Bush was doing, or like, if you know, he killed some people, Bush killed some people, you know, the conservatives all got behind Bush. You know, Obama does it.
Right.
He's the Antichrist.
Right.
Right.
You know,
well, you know, he's a black dude, so you're going to have probably about straight out a third of the South that won't agree with anything he ever does, no matter what. I mean, he could cure poverty and they get all those people, you know, $100,000 a year jobs, and they'd still hate the dude, you know.
Right.
But, you know, of course, you know, it's funny. I say cure poverty because he's done just the opposite of that. You know, I mean, we got record poverty numbers in America, and, you know. So, I mean, I can't even say that about Obama. You know, he rose through the ranks as a community organizer in poverty-stricken neighborhoods. This tells you how little the presidency actually runs the gig. The guy starts up as a community organizer, you know, in poverty-stricken neighborhoods. He gets into the presidency, and he's doing nothing for those people. Nothing.
Right.
I mean, in fact, he's made it worse by increasing the number of poverty, the poverty numbers. So, it tells you that his motivations and the actions that he's undertaking as a president aren't driven by those poor people. It's driven by these fucking bankers and the Pentagon and all the money people in the world and all of his actions, everything he does, the drone strikes, is driven by the money people, period.
Right. Well, that's we always say that. You know, we try to not to get too deep into the conspiracy shit, but, you know, the whole Bilderbergers thing and all that, they all get the rubber stamp long before they become elected. There's only two or three people at a time per election that are approved to be fucking president. That they bring them in there and they debrief them. You know, they tell them, hey, you ain't got no fucking control. You're going to go to war when we tell you to go to war. You're going to fucking, you're going to put embargoes on oil and this or steel, foreign steel when we want to. Now, like, recently they open up the embargoes and they didn't get all the cheap steel getting dumped in America. And my past employer, you know, the steel business is going down again. They just fuck with that shit all the time, dude. Anytime we have a contract coming up to U.S. steel workers, all of a sudden, magically, the fucking steel prices go in the dirt, dude, and we start losing money. Why? Because they take the fucking tariffs off the foreign steel, and they allow them to dump the cheap steel in right when we're getting ready to fucking negotiate our contract. And guess what? They say, we're losing money. Oh, you got to start cutting your benefits. You got to start cutting you. No more profit sharing. No more gain sharing. No more bonuses. No more cost of living. Every fucking time, dude, every fucking time, every 4 or 5 years, it's bullshit. I've seen this game. I just know how this shit works. It's all a big fucking shell game, dude. They just fuck you over left and right. They don't give a fuck about it. You know, Obama, I mean, he has to act like he cares about the middle class and the poor, but in the end, I don't think none of them really do. I mean, you know,
none of their actions are driven by helping the average person. None of them. It's all about where they're getting their money at and who they can help. I mean, our government is run by corporations right now, and where the money flows into them, that's where the money flows back out from the government, right back into contracts and tax breaks and tax loopholes and whatever else they can come up with to help those corporations that got them elected into office, period.
Right.
And speaking of which, you know, I know we've talked a few times about, like, surveillance and how bad it's getting. And Noam Chomsky, which we've also mentioned a few times, has this amazing article in Truth Out about Snowden.
He's our hero.
And it's called Edward Snowden, the World's Most Wanted Criminal. And he's got a few – let me read just a couple different things off of this about Obama and his policy against Snowden – and whatever else. It says, you know, it says here, exposures lead us to inquire into state policy more generally and the factors that drive it. The received standard version is that the primary goal of policy is security and defense against enemies. and this is the big part here. The doctrine at once suggests a few questions. Security for whom and defense against which enemies? The answers
yeah.
are highlighted dramatically by the Snowden revelations. And basically
right.
what he's saying, police must assure the security of state authority and concentrations of domestic power, defending them from a frightening enemy, the domestic population, which can become a great danger if not controlled. So what he's saying is this whole thing of the surveillance and everything, and they're claiming that it's, oh, it's for our safety and to stop the, you know, stop the terrorists, this massive data center we're building, an NSA data center we're building in Utah, just fucking massive, collecting almost
right.
every single phone call made in America now, every single one and abroad. He's saying, now, of course, it's not because of terrorism. It's to protect the government and the controlling powers against domestic population.
Right.
Us.
Yeah, well, that,
we're
that, the
enemy
that's
the
whole thing. That's the whole thing with the terrorist threat. It's all a bunch of bullshit. You know,
right.
Now they're saying all these mass shootings, they're saying now those are considered terrorists. They're going to say that this is
terrorism. Right. Acts of terrorism.
Terrorism. And you don't know, shit, you don't know if some of these are even, if they're even real nutbags going out and shooting people, or if they're fucking MK Ultra mind-controlled fucking nutbags, or if they're, you know, government, you know, sponsored fucking nutbags, you know, all those people that did all those mass shootings in the last 5-10 years, they all their, seems like every one of their parents and family had something to do with the government. I mean, it's just really weird, man. I mean,
yeah.
you know, you can't prove it, you can't prove it, and we don't know for sure, but I mean, all this stuff that happens is causing us to lose freedom constantly.
Well,
and I don't
I'll
even give a shit about guns no more, dude. I've fucking given up the hope of, you know, I I'm not going to have an arsenal. I'm not going to spend enough money to fucking have an arsenal big enough to fucking fight off the federal government. It just ain't going to happen. I ain't got
yeah.
an arsenal big enough to fight off the local police force, much less
right.
anything else.
Protect
I got
yourself
an arsenal
against
big
the police,
enough,
man.
I got an arsenal big enough to fucking blast somebody that's breaking into my house. That's about it.
Right.
You know, I
right.
don't, you know, I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to be one of these guys that has 10, 50-round fucking AK clips and then AKs and fucking, you know, semi-automatic 40 cals, couple of them, and fucking, you know, all these fucking just loading up on all this ammo. I just ain't going to do it. And it's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, the people that do that, I think you're just wasting your time, and they're just, all you're
your
doing
money.
Is making
the
ammo and the gun. Yeah, you're just making yeah. them richer. I mean, but, you know, something's got to give here, man, with this shit. I mean, it's
yeah.
like you said, it's getting fucking crazy.
Well, I tell you what, man,
these are things
that are common with these things. And, I'm a gun guy. I'm a Second Amendment proponent. But the shit that's been going on, something's wrong with it, man. There's something happening. And the one thing that you can see is a thread through all of these. And I just actually put a post on Facebook, and somebody else's Facebook post about these Vegas killings lately. And and this is the thing. Is that during the Reagan era, we closed almost, or defunded, which basically means closed, almost all the mental institutions in America. A majority
right.
of them have been closed in the entire country. So what happens, those people end up flowing through our jail system.
They went to the Republican Party.
Right.
Yeah.
They end up in the Republican
yeah.
Party. But they're flowing in our jail systems, in and out of our jail systems. They're mentally unstable. They're never treated. And the other thing that is very that is extremely common about almost every single one of these mass murders that's happening is every single one of these serial killers, these mass murders, is on some sort of depressant medicine, on some sort of antidepressant medicine,
right.
Xanax or whatever else. And
right.
One, they're not getting treatment. Two, they're getting overprescribed all these drugs that's making them fucking flip out and kill people.
Right.
I really believe that that's the common thread in almost every single one of these mass. That Adam Lanza was on Xanax. The dude, the drive-by guy in California lately was on Xanax. I mean, almost every single one of these guys is on Xanax or some antidepressant. Of course, that's never covered in the news. You don't hear it, but you see it in autopsy reports.
Speaking of mental cases, we got another caller from the 254 area code, which is Waco. So you want to take that call?
You're right.
Yeah.
Caller, yes, what's your name? Got a new caller from 254 area code? What's your name?
Yeah, that might be my girl. She's listening in.
Oh, sorry, your girl. Hello.
Yeah, she's listening.
Christ Crusher's girl, are you there? Do you want to talk? Christ Crusher's girl, are you there? Do you want to talk? Do you want to say something? Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I think she's...
All right, we'll let her join on if she wants. If not, she can.
I think she's calling in a little.
All right, well, she's live if she wants to talk.
Let's go back to
her.
I want to finish this shit about the shootings here. I want to finish my thought about that. So all these people are on Xanax. I mean, we're all at the pharmaceutical industry is so huge. So many people are walking around all fucked up on pharmaceuticals.
Right.
Serial killers are on Xanax, almost every single one of them. And,
right.
You know, it's the whole Vegas shooting thing. Alex, have you seen Alex Jones went crazy about it? He's just going insane. He's gone off the deep end.
Yeah,
and said
I don't
that
watch him no
it was
more.
It was a false flag brought out by Harry Reid. But you do, these two Vegas people.
What is it, man?
They followed Alex Jones and actually had articles posted on InfoWars they left posted from them regarding cop killings and whatever else. So
really?
They have some links to Jones, and Jones is freaking out about it, I think, now.
Again,
crazy people, and they were also on the Bundy Ranch and got kicked off. Did you see that?
Cool.
There were those two from Vegas.
Yeah.
They got kicked off the Bundy Ranch, and then they came back But it's all about this is my thing about guns, is I'm a Second Amendment proponent. Somehow we've got to stop the crazy fucks from getting the guns. I don't have an answer for that. But there's too many crazy people. I think if you're taking prescriptions for antidepressants, you shouldn't be able to own
guns. No, that's true. You shouldn't. If you're receiving any kind of medical attention any at all for depression, or if you're seeing a psychiatrist, I won't say counseling or a psychologist, because that a lot of people are normal that it's doing that. But if you're seeing like a psychiatrist and you're on like psychotropic drugs and fucking, if you're on some heavy duty shit, you should not be able to get a gun. There's no way around it.
Antidepressants, man, which makes you sometimes suicidal.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I tell you what, man. When you, I got a 40, and a couple other guns. I got a handgun. And when you sign that fucking permit slip to issue it to, send it back into where you're buying it from, wherever you're buying it from, and you got to, and they do the background check on you. One of the questions is if you smoke weed or not. It's not if you're taking antidepressants. It's not, it's if you smoke weed. Like a bunch of weed smokers are going out. Fucking killing all these
people.
It ain't the weed smokers. I can guarantee you that. It's these people fucked up on antidepressants, and that's where the link is at. I'm saying right now.
Right.
That's my two cents on it. I think it's all about pharmaceuticals. These people are fucked up, and they get access to guns, and they go out and kill people, and it has to do with the medicine.
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
But if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Right. Oh, dude, I fucking love Bill Murray. That's my favorite.
He's one of my favorites.
Did you see that video? Not to change the subject, but I'm gonna real quick. Did you see that video where he crashed that guy's bachelor party?
I did.
And he had a drink with them guys. I posted that a couple weeks ago, and he was giving the guy advice and everything, and they were all cheering around him. He did a toast with them. That was really cool, man.
He did. Just he drove by like. Kickball games in Central Park and shit. He'll just stop in.
Right.
People are playing kickball. Stop and start playing with him. And she,
right.
I just love that, man. He's a cool dude.
A cool guy, man. Yeah, he's not. He doesn't have that big ego, and he likes.
Yeah.
He'll just talk to normal people and fucking. That's pretty cool, man. I dig that about him. I think he's one of the better better all-around cool people in Hollywood, you know.
Yeah.
I've always been a fan of his. That's fucking cool.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't know, Crusher. Are you gonna hang around? You wanna start fucking talking about some of the shit you got going on your Facebook site, some of the battles you're going through. You feel like DB? You wanna switch to some fucking religion and faith?
Get the
evangelism going and the fucking anti-faith and the fucking start crushing some of this bullshit that's the root of all fucking misery in this fucking country. You guys ready?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, let's hit this shit.
So, did you see where that one commenter was trying to tell me that I did believe in something, that atheism is a religion?
I've seen that like 100 times. I don't know if I specifically saw yours. But,
hey, quit praising on me, will you?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those. I've had that said to me 100 times. You know, saying atheism is my religion. That my non-belief, I have to have belief to have non-belief in fucking God. Which
exactly.
Is absolutely ignorant.
Well, she took it to a very weird I don't know, comparison. She asked, if I got sick, where would I go? You know,
I look to.
Yeah. I said, you know, I go get medicine or deal with it. And she replied, you believe in something. You believe in man. You believe in medicine or all this other crap. And I'm like, how does me believing in that, you know, make me religious? Or denying what you believe make me religious? You can't just go around saying there's a God and then I say I don't believe you and I'm religious for that. You can't do that. You see what I'm saying? You can't. Atheism, you know, and people, you know, will argue with me, you know, tooth and nail over it, how it is. And I'm simply disbelieving in your claim. That does not make me religious. You know, and they run around and tell people this. It's like,
yeah.
This is the thing, man.
They confuse their faith, their belief in something without absolutely any evidence whatsoever, in other people's belief in things that have been proven true. So they're like, well, you believe that, you know, the Earth revolves around the sun, so, you know, so my belief in God is valid. No, because there's scientific proof of that. There's scientific proof in a belief that you have, and that doesn't mean that it's faith. It doesn't mean it's religious.
It's anti-religious
when you don't believe in it. You know, you just don't believe that there's anything there, and they can't grasp the fact of not believing something that they believe in so hard, you know, wholeheartedly.
And it wouldn't be that I believe in medicine. It's that I know the medicine works.
Right.
I don't need to believe it. I know, you know, because we know it's testable, repeatable, observable. You know, we know that it's real, and we know which medicines work, which medicines don't, because we know they exist because of those things. So, of course, you know, and it's not really I believe in medicine. Once I know that it's there, there's, you know, the need for belief is no longer there. It's just I know now.
we had a
belief or nothing. Knowledge. You have a knowledge of the fact that it fucking works. That's why you go there.
Yeah.
And I'll guarantee as soon as her kid gets fucking sick and is near death, most of these people will end up going to the hospital. They're tough acting fucking faith. Once their kid's almost in, they're all doing their prayer circle and nothing's working, they'll take their kid to the hospital unless they're like really nuts. I'm not going to say everybody. There's people in the Appalachians and all the different areas that are just, they will not go to Amish and all that. They won't go to a hospital no matter what. But I mean, that Christian Science is like that too, right? They have their different
Christian
medical
science.
Or whatever.
Amish do go to the hospital.
Amish go to the hospital?
Yeah, Crusher, I don't know if you know. I live way the hell out in the middle of nowhere, and I actually have Amish neighbors, and I talk with them every once in a while.
Old DB and BFE.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, they're good people. You know, they're actually some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And
right.
they don't force religion on you. They just believe
yeah.
what they believe, and they go about doing what they, you know. Now, they don't want to associate with, now, if I were to tell them I didn't believe in God, which I haven't, they probably would never talk to me again. But they don't
right.
they don't proselytize. They don't, you know, and they do
that's the way
if they get
be.
Super sick, they'll go take modern medicine and be treated.
Oh, that's good. That's
so,
good.
Yeah. Surprisingly enough, they don't go to the dentist, but they'll get, you know, if they're dying,
right.
they'll go to a doctor and get fixed up.
Right, right, right.
You know.
So you don't
but
want
to. Yeah,
you
had
say
a
it,
call.
You know?
It's funny you mentioned that, man. We had a caller a couple weeks ago, and it's been our only pro-religion call. She's a really nice lady, actually, and I'm glad she called.
Right.
But this was her example. She said, well, I know people, you know, I know that India's there, even though I haven't been there. Because I have other people come back and tell, I know it's there because you know, it's just, I know it's there even though I haven't been there. I said, yeah, but you know Indian people, right? You know people that have been over there and come and tell you about it. Even though you've never been over there, you know it's there because of other reasons of proof. Not just because you know it's there. You know it's there because it's on a map. You know it's there because you've seen pictures of it. You know it's there because there's people from India that live in this country. And she didn't like that.
that yeah.
She's like, yeah, and she got all kind of huffy about it. And, you know, and then I said, well, and then this was my other one. I said, well, you know, the Bible mentions unicorns. If someone came over and told you that if you believe people just from what they told you, if they came back and said they've seen a unicorn, would you believe them? And she wouldn't answer.
Yeah,
and I kept having to come back to it. Would you believe
yes,
if someone told you that
no,
they saw a unicorn, would you believe them? And
I think
she wouldn't answer the question.
She
no,
should have said,
she
yeah,
said
because
yes.
it's in the Bible.
right.
I think she said yes. Dennis, I think you have to go back and re-listen to that.
You might be right. You might,
said,
you,
yes.
And that might have been
she
the
said,
answer crusher. She might have said because
Jesus,
it's in the Bible.
She
yeah.
said if Jesus says it, it's true. That's what
that
she said.
That is it. That's
she
what
said
exactly
about
what she said. Yep. Mm-hmm. If Jesus said it, then it's got to be true. You know, and of course, you know, the Bible mentions, you know, behemoths and dragons and nymphs and, you know, I mean, all these mythical creatures, man.
Right.
And they believe them all, man, because supposedly it's the word of God. You know, the Bible's written by these guys that thought that the earth was flat, you know, but they'll believe them that there's a God, you know.
There's more proof of India than there is for Jesus, definitely.
Right.
More proof of
what?
There,
there's more proof of India than there is for
right,
Jesus. So
right,
right.
Evident that
yeah,
India's there. No evidence
yeah,
that Jesus has been around ever.
That's actually one of the more sillier comparisons.
Yeah. But she wanted to say, well, even though I haven't been there, I know it's there, was her argument of her initial argument about it.
Right.
I said, well, you know, because there's proof of it being there, you know.
Right.
So that's the whole thing about faith, man. They're willing to believe, you know, the most ridiculous, you know, circumstances. out of the Bible because people told them that it's true.
It's just, Eric, you know, it's because everybody else is doing it, kind of.
Yep.
Kind of doing, I don't want to get looked at crazy if I think different, because that's, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah. Well, it's an environmental factor. That was my other thing with her. I said, you know, if you were born in the slums of Pakistan, would you be Christian? And she's just dead silent. She didn't. And I said, I told her, I said, your religion is entirely an environmental factor. The reason you believe in Christianity is you have people around you that believe in it. They fostered you. They brought you into church. You go there an hour, two, three every week. You probably have, you know, activities outside with church members. And that's the reason why you believe in religion, environmental factors. Maybe your parents were super religious or whatever else.
Yeah, actually, I actually wrote something about that. You know, people are, you know, they're really deeply rooted into the church, you know, the community, and, you know, all the things, you know, churchgoers, you know, do together. All their little events and, you know, get-togethers and stuff. You know, they get familiar and comfortable with it, and, you know, it becomes normal. And, you know, anything outside of that would just be too much for them.
Yeah, no matter what's happening in that realm, you know, like the pedophilia and stuff becomes acceptable, you know, because it's just part of their belief structure. Well, if these people are doing it, there must be a reason for it, you know. Hey, man, I got to bring this article up, speaking of which. It's in the Raw Story. It's at rawstory.com. And this is some of the bullshit that's come up out of religion just in the last week or week and a half, man. It's just fucking stuck in my craw. It's a St. Louis archbishop claims wasn't sure it was illegal for priests to have sex with kids.
Yeah, I saw that today. I mentioned
wasn't
that to a guy
sure
I was working
it was
with.
Illegal.
That's crazy.
And right along the same lines, man, same rawstory.com, another report. New Jersey diocese, we're not liable because molesting boys is not part of the priest's official duties. So they're basically saying it's happening off their job time.
Yeah, so they can't do nothing to them about it.
But you can come back to work the next day, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So
no,
I mean, New Jersey, St. Louis, they're all in the higher up structure of the church, the archdiocese. It's still completely it's manifested throughout the entire structure of the church and still is to this day. And I can guarantee it's still happening because
right.
of
yeah,
that kind
know,
of bullshit.
That's what you know they that's their religious freedom that they want to claim. You know, you try to persecute them or punish them or lock them up for doing that, you know, which will, you know, anybody outside of that religion, your everyday people would go to prison for, you know, and then these people get a pass, you know, everywhere.
That's the only reason they're not in jail. And you know what I was saying
yeah.
last week, man, or when our last shows, if this was happening in any other infrastructure in the world, those people would be going to jail. If it was all the people that ran Walmart or whatever, or Target or Red Cross or whatever, they'd all be in jail. I mean, it's
yeah,
a
right.
pedophilia ring that's a worldwide
exactly.
pedophilia ring that's been going on for maybe, who knows, a millennium or more, and it's finally starting to come to light, and they can't handle the fact that what they've been able to do for years without any interference is finally coming to light, and people are getting pissed off about it. Finally.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you see that one that just popped up today? I think it was yesterday and today on there. It's not just Catholic Church. They had 25, there's in the last week, have had some kind of sexual charge against them or pedophilia or you know, inappropriate sexual conduct
Man.
Or, you know, sexual assault. There's been 25 in 1 week across the country.
Unbelievable.
I'm trying to find it on here. They posted it this morning, whatever the site was that posted it. It was one of those alternate type sites, Daily Beast, something like that. I can't find it offhand, but, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, it's not even just the Catholics. It seems like anybody that's ultra religious is fucking sick in the head. You know, they're
sexually repressed. They want to live in a fantasy world. Their fantasy's about to be over. You know, they want to keep living in the clouds and continuing, you know, all their selfish, you know, disgusting needs and wants and desires they have. And religion gives them the freedom to do that.
Crusher, let me ask you this question. Do you think when you are truly a believer, when you really believe in the Bible story and you really truly believe in vicarious salvation through Jesus, do you think that opens you up to being a sexual predator or deviant like that, where your mind is so fucked up, you're so deluded that you don't even know? I mean, you can justify anything
if
your sins are forgiven. If you can be forgiven for no matter what you do, you know, and you got, you always feel like the devil's after you. You got all these delusions that the devil's, you're fighting this spiritual war all the time. I think it fucks up your brain, man. I think it fucks up your brain.
Yeah.
I think it depends on, what religion it is, how that religion affects them in their sexual behavior, you know, depression, and, you know, they get real fucked up about sex and you know, and all this, and it could be, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, it absolutely opens up a gateway for anybody for that to happen to, but it depends on how strongly they believe or how bad they feel about, you know, their sexual needs and desires, because that's considered a sin. You know, it depends on how bad they let that so-called sin affect them. That, yeah, I mean, it could, you know, mess them up sexually in the head and.
Yeah, I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying people that are
not everybody, no.
But people that are really, really totally sold out, that are, you know, I just maniacal about it to the point where they could pick up a, they're almost to the point where they could, you know, they're trying to do like picking up snakes or, you know, testing God, trying to raise people from the dead or heal people. I mean, they go into, they're praying over somebody to actually think they're being healed.
And then the person
isn't healed. You know, I mean, if you're trying to do all this stuff and the Bible tells you you're supposed to be able to heal people, you're supposed to be able to cast out demons, all these signs will follow them that believe, and you're doing all this stuff and it's not happening, I think it causes some kind of fucking psychosis in your brain, and you start thinking, God is not, he's not working through me. I'm trying everything. I'm doing everything what the Bible says, and these things are not happening for me. The Holy Spirit's not in me. It's not working with me. There's something wrong with me. And you start getting fucking crazy, and I just think it makes you nuts. And then they have their sexual desires or whatever repressed for so long, and they just fucking explode and do something stupid, you know. And that's where you get these guys like the pastor found screwing a guy, you know, smoking crack. What's the guy from Denver, Dennis?
Ted Haggard,
smoking crack. Yeah. You know, I wasn't having sex with him. I was just smoking crack with a male prostitute.
Right.
Because I always like to get high. I always like to get high with a male prostitute, you know, in a fucking bathhouse or wherever they found him. And, you know, nothing's going on. I we just like to hang out and get high together. Yeah, right. That was a bunch of bullshit. But, I mean, you know, it just makes you do stupid stuff.
I think in probably maybe most cases there was already something, you know, fucked up there, and, you know, there was something there to trigger that, you know, and it could be a many factors, and, you know, religion could be one of them, or the, you know, the repressed, you know, sexual behaviors through it, or many other things. But, I mean, I think there's definitely an underlying issue that was probably already there, and it just needed something to, you know, that's
and they're trying,
a lot of times.
They're,
you know,
trying to get help, they're turning towards religion to get over it. But they never really did get over it, because what they really need is counseling and therapy and fucking mental health and mental help.
Yeah,
and they don't get it.
That's
why they're in a fucking church that says they're supposed to be getting healed.
Right. Well, I tell you, this is the thing. You know, it all religion to a certain extent removes personal responsibility. You know, my sins are forgiven, so I can do whatever the fuck I want. And then, you know, going back to, I just shot that dude dead. Was it, did I do that, or did Satan make me do it? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean, even when it's like, Satan made me do it, and now I'm going to be forgiven because I believe in Jesus Christ, or you know, no matter, you know, I Jew or Muslim or whatever, as long as I believe, I'm going to heaven, you know, and it removes personal responsibility. I can go out and cheat and steal and do whatever I want. I know that's against the Ten Commandments, but I will be forgiven for my sins, you know, no matter what I do, because I believe.
Well, the Old Testament, that's the Ten Commandments, that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Covenant. We're under the New Covenant. Oh, we're under the Age of Grace, right?
Yeah.
Right? You know, Crusher. Party's on, buddy.
Supposedly, but if I'm not mistaken, there's over 300 verses of the Old Testament in the New Testament.
Right.
And, you know, they don't, you know, we know this, but they don't realize that, and they don't realize, you know, that in the New Testament, Jesus says he's not come to, you know, abolish the old law or the prophets, but to fulfill them.
Yeah,
so
every
kind of
jot will be fulfilled. Right. Let me ask you a question, Crusher. Have you been on that No Holds Bible debate site, or No Holds Barred Bible site? That one, or the, what's the other, Heaven Hell, You Choose, some of them sites. I don't know if you've been on any of them Facebook sites. It's basically more Christians than atheists, but they you get on there and you just can debate for hours and hours and hours.
Well, that's where we got the one call from, huh? The no-holds-barred
yeah, that was the
debate
lady
or whatever.
There.
That's where she,
well,
yeah.
Anyways, there's these group of guys on there. I don't know if you've been on there, Crusher, but these guys are like, I don't know what they call themselves. They're like, they're always talking about the Torah. They're always speaking and writing Yahweh and all these different names for Christ,
yeah,
and this Holy Spirit and everything. They're like really, really into Hebrew, and they're,
yeah,
really, I can't even tell if they're Christian. It's almost like they're not
Christian.
No,
that's Judaism, man. That's
they talk about Christianity and everything, and they talk about Messiah. They're always talking about Messiah, but they're not Jewish.
Well, the,
it's weird. I don't even know what they are.
The Torah is made up of 5 books from the Bible,
mm-hmm,
from the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And other
right,
stuff,
I mean,
right? Not just that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But these guys act like they're Christians. It's the weirdest thing. But they don't talk much about the New Testament. And they always talk to the Christians like they're lost. Like,
yeah,
the Christians are always talking about grace and the New Covenant and all this and that. And these guys are always like, no, you have to, the law is written on your heart. You have to follow the Old Testament. That's their, these guys. And they're just crazy, man. These guys, I get in there and mock them and laugh at them. And the Christians are fighting these guys, and they're fighting back and forth. And I'm like, I'll write something like, you people are all out of your mind. You know, and I'll put all my little memes up there and stuff, and they get so pissed off. These guys are just like, you know, I feel sorry for you. You're going to hell. They'll tell me, you're going to hell. You are so hateful. You're going to hell. They tell me that all the time. And I'm like, and then they'll get offended if I say anything. I say, you tell me I'm going to hell, and that's, I'm not supposed to be offended by that. You tell everybody they're going to hell. You tell everybody they're wrong. That's not supposed to be offensive. But if I point out a Bible verse is inconsistent with another Bible verse that you're speaking, you get mad at that, and I'm blaspheming or whatever. I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind. People are so deluded, man. It's unbelievable. They're like in another planet. I don't even think I – even when I was a born-again Christian, I don't think I was that bad. I mean, these guys are off their rocker, man, that are on them sites. They really think their shit don't stink either. They all act like they're super intellectual, and, like, everything that they know in the Old Testament is totally – they're just, like, perfect, and they're like, spotless. They have no – you know, they're not doing anything wrong. They are the most prideful group of people. There's, like, about 10 or 12 of them, and they're on these 2 or 3 different sites, and they're just – these guys think they're just so intellectual. And it's hilarious, man. They're really easy to debunk too. I mean, but they're so deluded, they don't even know when they're wrong. They can't even figure it out.
For as long as we have gaps, we will have gods. You can
right
believe that. Then that's really all God is a gap filler. The entire idea.
God of the gaps, right?
You know, and that's what they all are. You know, we can't explain it. God, it's really quite a simple breakdown, but it's, you know, if you could take it on
right
that on face value, but you have to debate these people, you know, and you know, try to reach through them. And like, I had these Mormons
what?
That come over here, they think they're here to help me, you know, but I feel like I could probably help you more than you can help me.
Right, like the one guy on the site said. And I totally agree with him. The one guy said, I will not be moved. My faith is 100% solid. There's nothing you can tell me that's going to convince me. And the guy said, I'm not debating you for your benefit. I'm debating you for the other people that are watching this. There's people that come to me after I debate you, and they want, and their faith is shaken, and they see a crack of light in there, and they want to talk to me, and they want to know more. And that's what people are doing this for. That's the same thing with me. Some of these clowns on there, man, they are so insane. I can't. I'll never be able to out-talk them, out-wit them, out-Bible them. I mean, I'm fighting on their ground. I'm fighting on their home turf, which is the Bible, and I'm trying to convince them that they're wrong. So, I mean, even though I feel like I am convinced I'm winning the argument, they think they're winning the argument, and I'm just like, you know, you can't. It's just insane. But
every God is the right God, right? You got the Amish. My Amish neighbors think everybody's going to hell except for them. You got the Mormons who are, you know, 100,000-ish or whatever, are going to heaven. Everybody else is going to hell, no matter if you believe in Jesus Christ or not. And on, Muslims, everybody else is going to hell. In a general Christian, everybody's going to hell except for them if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. You know, so it's always, even within that, you boil it down to people that think that they know even more than the Christian. You know, they know even more that, I'm not Catholic or I'm not Protestant, so I'm right. You know, my God is better than your God, even though we believe almost exactly the same thing.
I think it's ancient Jewish mysticism or something. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Gnosticism. That's Gnosticism is what that is. G-N-O-S, Gnosticism.
Yeah.
That's what that shit rolls back into.
Although a Gnostic I know is a Gnostic Front. Fucking hardcore, man. A Gnostic Front. Remember them guys?
Yeah, I used to love that
back in the day. 80s hardcore, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, that's just it. It's all, you're always right, no matter what your pool of belief is. I'm a general Christian. You know, one fifth of the world population is right. I'm a Mormon, so only 100,000 of us are right. I'm an Amish, so only the amount of Amish are on the earth are right, and everybody else is going to hell. You know, you can always boil it down to even smaller and smaller factions within any religion that think that they're right compared to the rest of the religion, the exact same religion.
Marge, are we Jewish?
No, Homer.
Woohoo!
Right. Hey, I was going to ask you.
Hey, you there, man? It sounds like you were cutting out. You there?
I'm here.
Yeah. Fester, man, I can't hear you anymore.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
He's still on because we're still on. So I think his mic cut out or something. Dude, you got to fix your mic or your phone or whatever it is, man. We can't hear you. So, but you know, anyway, we'll keep on with it, man. That's part of it. Is everybody thinks they're right about religion, even the 5 million various views on religion on the earth. You know, I mean, there's just you can never say that one religion is right, is exact. I mean, you just can't do it. And the people that do, obviously, there's, you know, they got something wrong with them.
If there was indeed any of these gods they claim, then there would be none of these religions. You know, you can't have all of them.
Right.
It wouldn't make any sense. You know, if there was the one true, then, you know, you're doing a pretty shitty job of running things, because I know if I was in charge, people would know I was in charge.
There wouldn't be any question.
Yeah,
if you're all powerful, there wouldn't be any question.
It's like people are showing up to work and the boss is never there, you know?
Yeah,
We never see them. Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, all you do is look at the events of the world and know that there isn't any. Hey, what's up? Now I can hear you.
I'm back. Yeah, my phone dumped, so sorry.
Nah. Yeah, we got static for about 3 seconds, and then you're out. So, but yeah, I mean,
well, that was the best. That was the best, most profound thing I had to say when I was talking during that. And you missed it.
Well, that's good timing then.
God damn it! That's why I said.
My advice to you: start drinking heavily.
Oh shit! Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, and now they're getting to the point. Pat Robertson had this thing lately, and he said, "Don't even try to prove God exists to atheists." He called us swine. Don't try to prove God exists to atheist swine on Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, he's full of good advice. And so because you know why they're not doing that anymore? They're getting their asses kicked. They're getting their asses handed to them when they come off.
Yeah.
And you got that fucking Bill Hamm guy or whatever his name is going against the science guy, Bill Nye. You know, or whatever, Ham, I forgot his first name, but, you know, or whatever else.
Ken Ham.
Neil deGrasse Tyson with Cosmos and addressing evolution they're just getting their asses kicked.
Have you guys ever watched any of the debates with Hitchens debating any of the famous ologists?
Yeah.
Christian Paul.
Yeah.
God, he mops the fucking floors with them guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they are just like, they're just like shaking their head laughing because they know they can't. When you got somebody that is literate as he is and as well spoken and fucking smart as he is, and he knows fucking the history of all this shit, and he has a pretty good knowledge of science and the literature and just the history of every country and everything. I mean, he's just, you can't fucking beat somebody like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he was amazingly intelligent. He was beyond,
yeah,
I mean, you just see, hear him talk, and he can recite some you know, archaic, you know, quote from some journal from the 14th
yeah.
century, you know, I mean,
he's like,
I mean, it's amazing
like,
what he can do.
He's like what Lucretius said. In whatever, 198 AD, you know he you know what's funny now though, all the Christians are saying now he died of cancer obviously, but the, he initially came down with throat cancer and they're saying that
yeah.
was God's curse on him because he used his voice to blaspheme God,
yep.
so now that's why he was killed was because he was an atheist blasphemer, so God silenced him through his throat. But the funny thing is he was speaking pretty much almost up to his death. He was doing, you know, speaking engagements, and I don't know if he was doing debates and stuff right up to his death, but he was pretty much pretty active right up till when he died.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's kind of funny.
There's the odds. I say the odds are there for somewhere in some point in time, you know, a very devout pastor, very respected. Man of God in the church community has probably come down with throat cancer and died
right.
the same way.
Yeah.
You know, what did he do?
They act like
right.
it was exclusive to him
yeah.
that happened.
Nobody else ever got throat cancer. No
they
Christian.
Can't see how utterly stupid that is to say.
Right.
You know, they don't think before they speak. They speak on emotion. You know, somebody against what they believe in. Once you get to that, I mean, you already don't have, you know, that much logic if you believe in these silly things. So you're going to say the most silliest shit is going to fly out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you know, it's been accepted in their circles for probably ever, for their whole lives. And so people, you know, you can say these ridiculous things, and just because they appear in the Bible, people accept it, no matter what it is. Is oh, that's got to be right, you know, no matter how ridiculous the concept. You know, how absolutely unbelievable, you know, Eve coming from the rib of Adam and all the crazy bullshit that's in the Bible, that people just take as fact. I mean, you know.
I bet you there was some Christians that were secretly or maybe even publicly fucking celebrated when Hitchens died. You know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Probably,
oh,
they,
yeah.
You probably had a few of them that were saying like this.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because he was such a, I mean, he was such a, I don't know, a great advocate for atheism. I don't know how else to put it, but I mean,
he actually made
sense. What's that?
What's that?
Go ahead, Crusher. I'm sorry, I stepped on you.
No, I think he was talking. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no. He,
no
I mean,
saying,
he. Well, the thing was, he was kind of one of the first prominent. Worldwide atheists, I think. I can't think of, you know, besides maybe since Carl Sagan was an atheist, you know, but,
well, Madeline,
but he,
Madeline
his realm was science,
Madeline
right?
Mary
you know,
O'Hare.
I mean, huh?
Right. Madeline Mary O'Hare was like the biggest public atheist back in, I think
yeah.
she started kind of the
and,
seven,
you know, we had founding
really.
Fathers that were atheists too, but the thing was, is even though they, he was the leader of the concept of atheism, I think, first worldwide leader. I mean, Dawkins is out there too, and Sam Harris and a few others, but you know,
yeah.
it's kind of started coalescing. And in for me personally, especially, you know, after, you know, reading his book, God Is Not Great, I mean, I was an atheist before that. It's funny for me, man, it took bits and pieces. First, I was agnostic. You know, well,
right.
you know, and then, you know, and it's little by little. Now I'm like, there's no fucking way. You know,
right.
I mean, the Bible is such bullshit, and people. I mean,
Dennis,
you know, you're believing in a leprechaun in the sky. You know.
Well, Dennis, since you brought that up, you kind of reminded me. Next week's episode, where I think we're going to be doing the show on Monday, aren't we? We're going to be moving to Mondays now.
Sure.
Right.
We're moving
okay.
on to Monday.
Next week's show, I'm going to for probably about a half hour of the show. Probably the second half hour, I'm going to take time, as long as we don't have a lot of callers or something. But I'm going to take the time to go through my my religious history. I'm going to go through my conversion to Christianity, my whole from 1989 when I was in the Air Force. So I'm going to go through my deconversion, and there's a stunning thing that happened in the 90s to me that really started setting me on my path to unbelief. And I've had a lot of people ask me about it. A lot of people want to know about it. I've only told a few close people to me about it because it's really actually very sad and it's very horrible. And but it is a certain thing, but it's kind of what it shook. It's almost, I don't think I would have been an atheist today if it wouldn't have happened. And it shook me out of my, not initially, it still took me 15 years, you know, going through the transition, like you were saying, of I was a fervent Christian, super strong, felt, you know, I was full of power and, you know, being able to do all these great things. Then I became a kind of a backslidden Christian where I wasn't really going as much. I didn't totally believe, wasn't sold out. Then just kind of a middle road, just hardly nothing Christian to a point where I was agnostic, then, you know, stronger agnostic than to like 5-6 years ago when I publicly renounced Christ and became an atheist. But I'm going to go through the whole history of that, even from when I was young, when I was raised Catholic. So I'm going to go through that next week, try to get it all crammed in about a half hour. So if anybody's interested in that, I know I've been debating people on some of these sites, and they always ask me, what caused you to lose your faith? I will tell it. It'll be on the radio show, and it'll be archived. So you can listen next week. You can find out. I'm going to admit everything. I'm going to tell you everything. And I'll explain why I'm a godless heathen now in my mid-40s. So, you know, and I haven't even told you, Dennis, everything, so you don't even know everything.
Yeah, I don't know any of it, so I'm looking forward to hearing it. I want to hear
you
what knocked you out of your melees and got you into thinking the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. The whole thing is, it's a lot of stuff. It took me a long time. I was really entrenched in religion. I mean, I was raised Catholic, hardcore Catholic. I knew that wasn't right, and I was always searching for truth. That's the whole thing in my life. I've always wanted to know the truth. I don't care what it is. I always had a hunger to know what is true. And if I have an inkling that it's not true, I'll drop it quick. And I got into Pentecostalism and charismatic movement when I was in my early 20s, right when I was getting out of the Air Force, when I was in the Air Force down south, and I got into that. Well, I stayed in that for about 10 years, but there, you know, it's a long story, but I'll go into it next week more detail, and there's one shocking thing that happened in the mid-90s, so I'll tell everybody, and everybody can hear it, and I'm going to say it once, and I'm not going to keep going over it. So any of those people that are on any of those heaven, hell sites, you know, Bible sites, whatever that I've been talking to, listen to this next week's radio show on Monday. So it'll be Monday 8 to 10. So I'll be on there probably the second half hour, and I will admit everything, say everything. So
all right, sounds good. Well, hopefully everyone will tune in then. And
I will probably be completely shit-faced while I'm doing
the whole
it, 'cause it's gonna be hard to do. I'll probably
sorry, it'll
be
good. Just, you know, we talked about the show being a catharsis, man. Maybe that's, you know, just get it all out and you know, use it as a couch, a psychological couch.
this will be my show prep. Will be this.
Down a beer. 7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch.
Nah, I think I'll be able to do it. I'll be all right.
Yeah. When I was younger, I remember telling my sister I didn't believe in God. I think I've been an atheist all my life. It just took me years to come to the conclusion, because when I was 8, I clearly remember telling my sister that I didn't believe in God, and she ran and she was all, "Dad, Dennis doesn't believe in God." You know, and we better get you to church, man. You know, of course we never did. I don't think he does either, for the most part. He's getting older, so he's starting to get churchy a little bit, but not, you know, bad. But, I think back then, man, I was like 8 years old, and I remember saying it. And then I went through this long period in my 20s where I read every sort of religious document I could. I read the Bible a few times, and I read the Bhagavad Gita and the Koran I read a bunch of, and you know, stuff about, you know, just about Zen and Zen Buddhism and you know, stuff like that. And you know, none of it really fit entirely. There were always bits and pieces that were kind of inspirational. Yeah, that makes sense, and that's you know, that's wonderful to hear. I mean, there are some beautiful things in religious texts that, you know, that are attributed to religious people, but none of it ever was, this is it. This is absolutely right. This is it. And so I started getting to the point where if none of it's right, then none of it's right. Right? None of it is. And it started, you know, and then, fuck, man, look at the way the world is now. And look at there's no fucking way there's a God. There's no way a benevolent, loving God can let people die the way they do from hunger, torture, rape, malnutrition, you know, whatever, on and on. There's no fucking way an actual God would let that happen. No way.
There is a God.
I agree with that.
It's not like what the Bible or the Quran say. It's an unself-aware energy, you know, first mover type thing. That's just a fucking non-feeling, non-knowing, non-giving a shit type force. It's not something
that's
personal.
That's Zen.
A personal
that's Zen
father.
Buddhism.
Yeah, that's not a personal
that's
father
Zen Buddhism
type
is
fucking.
What that is.
You know, it's you talk about Zen Buddhism and everything. I mean, even some of the greatest things that are great in the Bible, like. You know, like when Christ said, do unto others as you'd have them do to you, you know. I mean, that's all preceded by fucking Confucius and, you know, I mean, he's
right.
Confucius. And it was like, what you do not wish to be done to you, do not do to others.
Right.
I mean, it's all the same
that's
shit. All of Christianity is just
sin.
A bunch of fucking it's just a bunch of fucking
rehashed
old religion.
It's a rehash.
It's all rehash.
It was brought
bullshit.
On from Egyptian times where worshiping the sun was actually the S-U-N instead of S-O-N. And the sun, they worshiped the sun, and the sun was the son of God, and it was brought on to, you know, Greek times, and then Greek times to Christian times, and they all had a Messiah that had, in Egyptian and Greek times and Christian times, they all had a Messiah that had 12 disciples. Every single one of those eras had a Messiah that was, you know, that was born around the same time, that had all kinds of the same considerations that Jesus did. In Greek times, which is around, you know, their high 300-400 BC, Egyptian times 2,000 to 3,000 BC in some cases, and it's just carried forward into Christianity. I mean, that's all that happened, man, and it's been around forever.
Right?
And it was the worship of the sun, making sure that fucking ball in the sky came up every single day to warm them up and grow their crops.
Right.
Yes, it's all a form of solar deities.
That's it.
And it makes
every single religion.
Primitive man was, you know, they were worried about the celestial stuff. You know, they knew the sun gave them life, so that's what they worshipped. And that makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
So,
it's gone on forever, for centuries and centuries, and most of the beliefs that, and man, Christians hate hearing that. Almost all the stipulations around Jesus have shown up in history for thousands of years before that, you know, hundreds to thousands of years.
And another thing that's really damning, and I don't know if Christ Crusher has seen this, but I post this meme probably 10 times in the last month on those sites, and those Christian sites, those debate sites. But have you ever heard of Dr. Bart Ehrman Crusher or DB?
No.
He's a Bible historian from
he's out of Raleigh,
North Carolina.
Right?
He's a professor of religious studies at University of North Carolina.
So
he's impeccable. Yeah, he started out as a Christian. His first book I ever wrote, he was a Christian. It was called Misquoting Jesus. It was just, he was a Christian, and he went to Moody Bible College. He went to Wheaton. He went to all the famous Bible college. He got a doctorate from like Princeton Theological Seminar. I mean, he's into all the history of the Bible and. Original, you know, the origins
of everything.
He believed
that Jesus he actually existed. But
he did at first. That was like his first book. But now, this is a quote from one of his later books. He's an atheist now, or at least an agnostic. He says, and it says, this meme, it's from an excerpt from one of his books. It says, most Christians don't know this. It says,
But in the entire first Christian century, Jesus is not mentioned by a single Greek or Roman historian, religious scholar, politician, philosopher, or poet. His name never occurs in a single inscription and is never found in a single piece of private correspondence. Zero, zip, nothing. No references.
Yep.
And that's the whole thing they hold on to. The whole fucking Bible of the New Testament and life of Christ is the one thing that the two mentions that Josephus in his writings mentions of Christ. The one has been proven a total fucking fake, fraudulent. The prose of the writing style does not even come close to fitting Josephus's writings. It was inserted centuries later, and the other one they haven't proven it totally false, but the way he's speaking about him is in an ethereal sense of the Messiah. It's not like a literal Jesus, a person walking on the earth. So it isn't even a collaboration of the Jesus, the man, existed anyways. So, I mean, that's their whole fucking thing. Their whole fucking thing is a house of cards, and it's coming down. And all these scholars and these people are finding this shit out. I mean, they're investigating it. You know, people aren't listening to pastors anymore in churches. People, you can go and listen to these historians. They'll tell you what was going on back then, you know.
The Internet, man. I read an article lately. I think we talked about it in an earlier show that they said Internet's killing religion. There's more access disputing what they believe in, and they're reading about it.
Yeah,
they're
right. I've actually made a post about that. Social media, you know, it's killing the Didi store.
Yeah.
Right. It's you know. And also, like you were saying, we were talking about Jesus even existing. You look at the failed prophecies. If I'm not mistaken, Jesus was actually supposed to be named Emmanuel. You know, there's supposed to be it was prophesied.
Right.
Of his birth and everything, but he was to be named Emmanuel. Well, then you get this guy named Jesus all of a sudden.
Right. Well, there's all types of Old Testament prophecies that he never fulfilled. The Messianic prophecies, the temple was supposed to be built when he came back.
They'll tell you that they've been fulfilled.
You know,
they'll say, look around the world, you know, and they'll say it is coming true. Everything in the Bible is coming true. I'm like, can you specify, you know, exactly
what
it is? And they never can.
Yeah.
It's always some vague interpretation.
Right. It's their imagination. I mean, you know, all of these incredible things happening thousands of years ago that people easily believed in, you know, parting of the Red Sea, you know, water to wine, on and on and on, all these miracles that obviously aren't happening anymore because they're easily disproved or just plain straight out not believed anymore because they're so ridiculous.
Yeah,
and they
won't look at the
fact
that.
So now it's Jesus. I see Jesus in a cloud. Look at this picture I took. That proves he's here. Or he showed up on my toast. I went to butter my toast, and his face is right there. So he's got to be around, you know. I mean, because that's something that that kind of looks like Jesus, you know. Yeah, that kind of looks like him, but that doesn't prove he's around, man.
The asshole of the dog. Looks like the asshole of the dog with Jesus with his arms spread.
And the fact remains, the biggest fact, they can't, if they could just, you know, really think outside the box and understand that there was, during the time that Jesus was supposedly performing all of these miracles, like you said, it was never mentioned, nothing was ever written about those miracles, why he was doing them, until sometime later.
Yeah.
You know,
of course they were invited.
And you don't know that the guy's ever been here. You don't even know he's been here and gone until he's, you know, died, came back, and left. And, like, you know, then you hear about it. It's like,
you got to know they're
no
all sitting around
it.
Drinking wine being like, all right, what else can we come up with this Jesus dude to make everybody believe he was incredible? You know, what else could he do here that we could put in this book to make people believe in it?
I've had a few, actually, that I've encountered that have told me that, you know, they agree my belief is not based on evidence. They'll admit that. They'll say, I admit it. It's completely faith-based. I have no evidence.
Yeah.
You know, those are the ones, you know, that will admit it.
At least they admit it. They know it's a fantasy, but they just choose to still believe in it.
Yeah, they're like, I don't have any proof, but I believe it, you know.
No, you're doing it all wrong.
You're living your entire life according to that, you know, and you really, that's when you start, I think, you know, you're oppressing yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you want to, all the fun shit you could be doing, you want to call it a sin. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you want to attribute your morals to it, but, I mean, really, it's one of, you know, Banana wrote 100 times, too, just how immoral, you know, things are in the Bible. And, you know, if these people didn't have this book, like, they'd be running around killing people and raping people, but because, you know, let's say that's wrong, then they don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, that, but in most cases, you know, rape is known in the Bible, so it's a wonder they don't.
Yeah.
All you have to do is pay the father, I think, 50 pieces of silver, and you're good to go.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, there's so many heinous passages in the Bible, and killing people because they're gay, or stoning
the
them to death if they work on Sundays. You know.
Muslim world, it's like that kind of now. I mean, still, you can have the honor killings and stuff, and, I mean, they're basically like living in the back in the fucking Bronze Age in a lot of them countries.
Chopping people's hands off for stealing and shit.
Yeah.
You know, they still
When you get these radical conservatives, you know, that want to enforce the Bible and, you know, and all these crazy things in it, I lost where I was going with that.
Well, you get to that point.
You're living literally by
the Bible or the Koran or whatever. You're chopping people's hands off. You're stoning people for working on Sunday. You're whoring out your daughter for some shekels. You're, you know, believing in unicorns, man. It's a world of fantasy. And if you're believing strictly by that, it's a fucked up world, man. You're chopping people's hands off for stealing something from a store or whatever. You know, way beyond what is necessary for a moral, you know, society.
Right.
Yeah. I think I was going to say that, you know, the ones that are, you know, really pushing the Bible are really, you know, unknowingly or knowingly enforcing, you know, horrible things on people.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to Sharia law, man. American Taliban.
Yeah.
If you're straight out hardcore fundamental Christian, you're believing the same sort of shit that a radical Muslim does. The same shit, man. Killing people if they don't believe in your beliefs. You know, retribution. For lack of belief, whatever else. And it's that fundamentalism, man. It's dangerous as hell.
The WBC, if we didn't have the laws that we have in place now, I believe the WBC would be out here stoning gays and doing all that stuff. But luckily we have the laws we have, but if they had it their way, you know, with no repercussions or consequences, things would eventually spiral, you know, into that. You know, because how Fred Phelps was, you know.
Right.
The only thing holding them back was our laws, and basically. I think they had the potential to go real very – things would go sour really fast, you know, if they were in charge like that.
Yeah. Look at Jim Jones is a perfect example of that. Yeah, all those people convinced, you know, that he was a messiah or at least the voice of God and moved 1,000 of them down to Guyana and shit and had them all end up fucking killing themselves.
Even the
people that didn't agree with it, didn't want to do it, were forced to do it by the other people, by the other ardent believers, the ones with the guns, forcing them to drink the Kool-Aid, you know?
Have you heard
about... Not all of them went willingly.
Have you heard about the Slender Man stabbings?
Yeah, those girls stabbing a friend or something. Yeah,
that's... And then, you know, now we got human sacrifices through a digital deity or a myth. You know, it's Slender Man is a well-known myth, well, somewhat known on the internet. And now we have young kids looking at that, and I don't know, it's almost too surreal is this really happening? You know, they're really believing in this Slender Man to attempt these sacrifices.
Yeah.
That's
a good analogy,
really
though, dude. That's a perfect analogy for Abraham, right? Exact
right.
same
yeah.
thing. An imaginary voice telling him to wrap up his only son and take him up onto a hill and kill him. It's exact.
Yeah.
That's a perfect analogy for the Bible. Is that
yeah,
Slender Man attack? An imaginary fictional character that they come to believe in and is driven to violence because of their belief in some imaginary character. Same
exact
thing.
It's the beginning.
That's a perfect analogy.
You know, in different circumstances, but same beginning. You know what I mean? It's
right. Well, in the same.
Know,
I mean, the same concept. They're both.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
confidence.
Abraham. Look at Abraham and these girls that stabbed their friend because of the Slender Man. They both believe in an imaginary creature. They both believe that they were talked to by them. They both believe that they were instructed by that imaginary creature to go out and kill someone that they know that's close to them. I mean, that is the perfect analogy. And it's
yeah.
and it's all, I mean, religion or not, if it's, you know, if it's Abraham, it's worshipped. If it's Slender Man and these girls, it's abhorred. People think it's, you know, it's complete horror, you know, a horror story. But if it's in the
yeah,
Bible,
right.
it's prayed to. People prayed to it.
Yeah.
yeah.
Right.
And we're able to use our
you know,
common sense with newer things, but we completely abandon it for these older beliefs because it was so. It's maybe because it's so old that you know they think it must be true because you know. But then you have to really step back and look at reality and look at who these people were that were writing it and during the time they were writing it and where they were writing it. So I mean, every time you see a believer, you're really seeing the Bronze Age. Reared,
nope.
ugly, disgusting head.
Yeah,
I mean, that's exactly
right.
what
and
Christianity
guys,
and all.
Even if it ain't a murder, you know, even if it doesn't come down to you know the Bible's causing murders in America or whatever, which it, you know does sometimes. I mean, how many lives have been ruined, and how many people have been fucked up mentally and stunted their growth when they were young by religious parents that told them they're filled with sin, they have original sin, they need to be saved. I mean, you know, if they're homosexual, you know, they're going to hell for that. They're going to hell for this. They're going to hell for, you know, having lustful feelings about women or boys or even they're straight, everything. I mean, just the constant, you're bad, you're going to hell, you need to be saved, you need to be saved.
Yeah.
You're worthless without Christ. You're worthless without Christ. When you tell that to kids, it fucks them up, man.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, the most heinous thing, one of the most heinous things of Christianity is original sin. No matter how you live your life, no matter what you do, no matter what good you do to other people, you're still going to die and go to hell because of Adam and Eve. How fucking ridiculous is that? You know, just because you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. You're going to die and go to hell because of Adam and Eve.
Preachment. It's a heinous fucking preachment, and it is a fucking curse on the society and the world, man.
The entire story is to keep you from questioning the Judeo-Christian God itself and the entire contents of the Bible itself because of the tree of knowledge. To me, you know, Christians are going to say, oh, something was metaphorical, that's out of context. Well, I believe to an extent that yes, that was, it is metaphorical, or I'm going to take it metaphorical because to me that was put there to discourage people from asking questions and learning the truth. You know, don't eat from the tree of knowledge. You know, you're not supposed to obtain any of that. You know, you have to go
through
the
whole Bible is like that.
I mean,
the whole Bible is that. Do not rely on your own understanding. Do not, you know, you got to have faith. Don't question. Don't tempt God. Don't question God. You know, it's like a parent telling a kid,
don't talk back. You know what I mean?
The Bible is like the Bible is like an instruction manual for somebody that wants to start a cult. They have mind-washed fucking robot cult followers. That's what
it is,
you know.
They're awful. It's everything. Every denomination, every sect, every bit of religious affiliation or any of that. It's all a cult.
Yeah.
You know,
they got a cult, and it's got a billion members in it.
You know,
it's got one billion members.
If this one true God exists, then you're not a cult. You know, but you are. Because you all
right.
have, everybody has a different, you know, even within the same, you know, religion, have a different view or a personal interpretation of what their God believes.
It's like 20,000 different fucking versions of Christianity.
You can go to the same church. You can go to the same church, and everybody in there is worshiping a different God.
Yeah.
Each one of them believe differently and believe their God, you know, is, you know, some of them that are in there don't go for everything in there, and some of them do go for the other stuff that the other ones aren't going for. So it's, you got all these mismatches, the cherry picking, you know, and so they all don't believe this or don't believe that. Well, now you're actually believing in a different God, because, you know, if you're wrong, it's a different God. You know, how, and it's a simple concept to think about. It's all different, even if it's in the same church, because everybody has their own view of what God thinks is just and what is not. And
but what it does do is it keeps you lockstep, so they're easily controlled, they're easily manipulated, they're giving their money out every Sunday or even more to a church in this you know, this fake leprechaun in the sky, but it keeps them in lockstep so that at least they have this general, you know, this general belief that's shared by all of them. And
right.
that
yeah.
general belief is what is manipulated by the powers that be to keep people in lockstep and not question their own life, man. They could be living in some destitute little, you know, squalor trailer out in the middle, you know, with no power, no running water, but everything's okay because the Bible tells them it is. You know,
yeah, I mean,
what, you know.
Not only does this God want to be worshipped, but he...
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Not only does this God want to be worshipped, but he wants you to go to a building that you had to build, that, you know, money had, you know, everybody has to give. You would think, you know, he not only wants to be worshipped, but he wants you to pick up the tab as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
I think I remember.
All rise as the judge leaves.
Fester, I think you sent it on Facebook one time. It's a picture of, like, a cartoon Jesus, and he's holding his hands out, and on top of the picture it says, "It's Sunday," and below the picture it says, "Pay up, bitches."
Yeah. That's the one where the Jesus is doing the thumbs up. It's the polyurethane statue, whatever, where he's smiling, he's got the thumbs up. And all that. They've made about 100 memes of that. There's one,
that
I got one right
one.
On my phone right now. It says this, it's got this one. He's got his thumbs up, and he's doing the point. He's pointing a finger at you like a gun. And the other hand, he's got his thumbs up, and he's winking at you. And it says, "This one time at church camp, I had sex with my mother to impregnate. Oh, I had sex with my mother to impregnate her with myself. True story." It's just, I mean, they have them.
Right.
Those goofy, man.
To
funny,
send
though.
Them back so I can have myself killed on the cross to prove forgive your sins. Instead
of
him doing it anyway, you know,
to save
instead of God saying, "Hey, I'll just forgive your sins," he's going
to
go through all that instead.
To save from you from sin that I caused.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's madness, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, would you send your own kid off on a suicide mission so you didn't have to kill the rest of the world? I mean, the entire concept is asinine, is completely stupid.
Yeah.
He already
killed
the world anyways before.
I mean,
you know, so, I mean, what?
You know, a lot of people think, you know, a lot of people believe that you need the Bible to be moral. How immoral can you get than ordering someone to kill their own son, or sending yourself down as a son to on a suicide mission? And, you know, I mean, over and over in the Bible. I mean, it's so immoral. It's not even funny.
I'm going to give you guys, so you guys were never, I don't think Crusher was, I'm not sure, but you guys were never evangelical, Pentecostal type born again Christians, right? Neither one of you.
No.
I'm gonna tell you, dude. I'm gonna give you a peek into the mindset. I'll do it more next week, but I'll give you a little peek into the mindset of these people, because I was one of them. Sorry to say, but
you know, you say, how can they do this? How can somebody believe in sending their own son to be on a suicide mission? They'll use the Abraham story, sacrificing his son and God stopping him and him being faithful to God. They'll use that as a prophetic foreshadowing story. They'll say, see, that was foreshadowing Christ. Abraham's son was like Christ, and God, and Abraham was like God, and he was, and that's also foreshadowing, and that's part of prophecy too, and this is how we know that Christ, it's all real. We know that this happened thousands of years earlier, so that verifies and validates Christ as the Messiah. And I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind. I mean, when you really, you would not believe some of the fucking stories I've heard people. From stuff that happened in the Old Testament, linking stuff to the New Testament, saying that verifies the New Testament, and I mean, there's stuff that's totally abstract.
Oh, they're just making shit.
I'm like, man,
no,
you guys,
I mean, this whole creation museum and shit. You know, I mean, putting
dinosaurs with humans
and
you motherfuckers could wage holy war with fucking Shakespeare. I mean, if they could do that with the Old and New Testament, they could really get down on some Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
yeah.
You know, there's so much foreshadowing. I just think there, you know, and you look at it, and it's so, like, disassociated. I'm like, how are you coming up with this? And I was a Christian back asking these questions back then. I was like, I don't see it. But, I mean, that's what it is. You're so deluded. You're so nuts. I mean, it's cognitive bias. Cognitive
dissonance.
Everything that, what is it?
Cognitive dissonance.
That's it. You seek out everything to validate what your point is. I mean,
bias.
You see everything you see, like justifying what you're believing. It's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, when Hitchens touched on that, he said about the Abraham thing, you know, about God making the bet with the devil and all that, and he actually said at one of his debates, you know. That's just, you know, how Hitchens he is, and he can get away with it. He's like, you know, somebody told me to, you know, or God told me to do that, or whoever told me to, you know, to do that, I would tell them, fuck you. You know, he straight out said it, fuck you.
Yep.
You know,
He's the first one I ever heard, I mean, to speak like that, to speak like religion is there's something wrong with it. And that's when it started clicking with me, you know. I was like, you're right, man. It's fucked up. You're right. And you should be able to say that to a God that's so immoral and fucked up as it is. I mean, you look at the world, man. God is not good. God is not great. I mean, there is no God because of what's happening in the world today. You know, there's no fucking way.
They'll tell you that's your free will. That's God always gets off the hook. There's always a scapegoat.
That's the default answer.
You know, and it's usually, you know, woman, you know, the female gender always seems to be the fall guy and everything.
Yeah.
We got a couple minutes left, guys. But we can go on and on with this. I mean, there's no end to it.
That was a good discussion.
So
we're moving to
Mondays. Thanks for calling in, Crusher. Yeah, we're going to move to Mondays, same time, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And thanks for calling in, Crusher, and appreciate your input and everything. And if you call in next time, you'll have to tell us about your dealings with the Mormons. I know you've been kind of documenting that. You're trying to de-evangelize some of the Mormons that visit you. So you have to talk about that. I was going to ask you about that this time, but maybe next time.
Yeah, there's tough cookies. I definitely will bring that up, and I definitely want to hear your story as well.
All right.
Yeah, it'll be good. All right. Going to get out of here. Yep, take it easy, man.
All right.
So this is it. And the number 10, big 1-0. Old DB, we fucking did it.
Mark it down. Number 10.
We're going to syndicate this shit. Put it on wax. It's fucking crazy. This is worse than this. I'll see you next week. Next Monday. That is,
all right, next Monday. 8 p.m. Eastern. Right. Talk to you then.
8 p.m. Eastern. Next Monday. Good night. Lucifer. We're out. Just what?